Jesus, you are seated on the throne at the right hand of the Father. And it's through you, you are the Word expressing the Father, revealing the Father. Thank you as you speak. As you speak, the Father is revealed. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are the power. And as Jesus speaks, you, Holy Spirit, make it a reality. Manifested in our midst. So we thank you. Thank you so much for the joy of fellowshipping with you, Father, with you, Lord Jesus, with you, Holy Spirit. Thank you so much. What you want to do this morning? Yes, amen. Have your way, Lord Jesus, in our hearts. Have your way in our thoughts, in our minds, in our bodies, in our attitudes. Have your way in our past, in our present, and into our future. Have your way, Jesus. Thank you. Receive what you're wanting to share this morning for your glory, so that your love is made complete through us as we say yes to you. Amen. Amen. Oh. Last Sunday, we started with that series on healing by John Kemp. We're going to continue with that. And I shared a scripture last Sunday at John 3:16, and I'm going to just read 16 and 17 onwards there. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. And this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by that truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God. And then I used the scripture, I'm just from last Sunday, so that we just all on board. And I spoke there that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And that hasn't changed. And so Jesus, when speaking about the Holy Spirit in John 14 and verse 16, and I will ask the Father and he will give you another counselor to be with you ever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father and you are in me and I am in you. And here we see the incredible truth where God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son. The depth of his love expressed, revealed in his Son's life and his Son's death and resurrection. Remember, Jesus came to make the Father known. So Jesus is revealing this incredible selflessness, this God love to the world. And then Jesus says, I'm leaving, but God so loved the world. I'm leaving, but I'm sending you another one just like me, the Holy Spirit, because he loves the world. And the Holy Spirit is going to be in you as believers, so that the love of the Father made known in me, Jesus Christ, can be made known through you by the Holy Spirit. Hasn't changed. God still loved the world. And now you and I have the Holy Spirit within us to be able to let the world experience the love of the Father in his Son Jesus by the work of the Holy Spirit, as you and I are yielded to the Holy Spirit. See, that's the joy that we have. That's the living waters that flow out of us so that the people can drink and be filled and satisfied because they're drinking the living waters of God, the Holy Spirit. And so we are very much involved in just saying no to our excuses, saying no to all the stuff that got the arguments on why we cannot yield to the Holy Spirit, why we cannot say yes to the Holy Spirit. All those arguments that say, no, it's all about, the stuff that comes in our minds there that I'm living for myself, I'm just living for my pleasure. All of that junk must be removed. As the Holy Spirit gives truth, you want to know the real meaning of life, enter into participation with the Holy Spirit. That's the abundant life. And there you live the abundant life. You participate in life that is beyond our comprehension, beyond our imagination. It's fulfilling. And that's our divine purpose, as we just yield it to the Holy Spirit, because God knows why He created us. He knows when He called Jeremiah, what did He say to Jeremiah? Before you were even in your mother's womb, I knew you. You see, He knows us so well. So He knows each and every one of us, and that we, and as we yield, Christ came and He's now reconciled us back to before I already knew you. Before you were born, I already knew you, and I had a purpose for your life. Now through my Son, you can once again get into my divine purpose by the Holy Spirit, just saying yes to the Holy Spirit and allowing the Spirit of God to direct us and guide us and do what He wants to do. And that is why we celebrate His life within us, God the Holy Spirit, because, wow, He knows what He's doing. And we celebrate, yes, Holy Spirit, You are the Spirit of wisdom. You celebrate His wisdom in us, His might in us, the fear of the Lord, and all the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, His incredible working. And so, that's what we've been up to as the body of Christ, and that's why we say the reason why we're here is because God loves the people out there, and He's poured His Spirit, He's poured His love into our heart by the Holy Spirit, and now as we go out, as we love people, things take place. And so in Acts chapter 1, as we see there, when the day comes when Jesus is speaking to His disciples, and in Acts chapter 1, and He's spending time, 40 days with His disciples, speaking to them about the kingdom of God, and He says there in verse 4, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift. The gift, something that God gives, it's grace. My Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked Him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And then He carries on and He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by His own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And then Jesus was taken on. So here we know the reality of Acts, of Pentecost, where remember Pentecost, it's from the Old Testament, where Pentecost is the festival that they're celebrating, the feast of the harvest of the first harvest of the wheat. When Jesus was crucified, that Passover, that's also a celebration there. They celebrate the first harvest of the barley, and that 50 days after that celebration is Pentecost. And that's the background that they're celebrating the first fruits, the first harvest of, and it's the weeks of weeks, some translations have, or the week of the festival of the harvest, the weeks of weeks, because it's 7 weeks after the death of the first harvest of the barley. And so here we see the celebration of the incredible first fruits of the harvest of the wheat. And we see there with Pentecost, from our perspective, Jesus dying. and he is the first fruits of our resurrection. And now 50 days later there, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and we see the first fruits of the harvest. 3,000 were added to the body of Christ, into the kingdom of God that day, the first fruits. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, and you and I continue that now, as that harvest just expands more and more and more, as you and I share the gospel and help people to come to meet Jesus Christ. And so that's what happens in Acts 2, when the Pentecost came. They were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And I'm sharing this because as we go in the name of Jesus, anointed by the Holy Spirit, maybe today you've never been baptized with the Holy Spirit, and today is the day where it's your day to say, Jesus, I need you to baptize me with the Holy Spirit. I need to be empowered to be able to continue the Great Commission. And it could be your day today if you hear the Spirit speak and say, yes, you need to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And so, because Jesus is the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so that's what we've been looking at in the past few days, and we're looking at the healing, we're looking at the healing ministry, because God so loved the world. And Jesus came to reveal the Father, and we see Jesus healing all the time in the power of the Holy Spirit. And he hasn't changed. He still loves people, and people need healing. And one of the ways that the Father's incredible love is revealed is through Christ Jesus' incredible healing ministry. And you and I have been called to continue. And as we watch this video, it's going to start speaking about certain things, certain mindsets that prevent us from receiving healing and also ministering healing to others. And so this is all about the next couple of weeks. It's all about being equipped to not only for ourselves to receive healing, but how to minister healing so that, for God so loved the world, you can go and reveal the love to families that need healing, divine healing. One of the things that he doesn't mention, but I will mention it at this time, is when it comes to healing, when it comes to anything, the religious spirit messes up with the mind. Because when Jesus speaks about in Mark 16, and he says that every believer, all those who believe, you will go and heal the sick, etc. And he says, you. So if I say to you this morning, you go and heal the sick, that religious spirit will mess your mind. Because that religious spirit will say to you, how can you say you? I? No, that'll take the glory of God away. You see, because religious spirit has a false humility, that he shares that false humility. And so that religious spirit will come up and say, what do you mean? You say, I've been anointed. You've got to be, no, Jesus has been anointed. You see, it'll have those arguments. That's a barrier. That's a barrier for not only receiving, but going out and ministering in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a barrier, it's a stronghold that today must be broken by the power of the name of Jesus Christ, as he shares. You see, because the word you and I the religious spirit loves to pray. And you will find that how it works. You will speak and you will say, but and I went and I prayed for someone, and that religious spirit will say, what do you mean you? How dare you? You? No. What do you mean? You're taking the glory now. That's a religious spirit. We know, as believers, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives it. We know that. So we see, the religious spirit is trying to bypass that truth, that what we know and how we live. Christ, it's you. We know it's you. But how is God's love made complete? God first loved us. He loves, His love is made complete as you and I, you and I, the you and the I, as we love others. God's love is made complete. And that word complete means that it has a starting point and it goes through a process to find its completion. So God wants to heal somebody. God wants to deliver somebody. God wants to share the gospel with somebody. God wants to do something. Guess who's going to do it? The you and the I. And that religious spirit will say, no, you can't use those words. And what happens? We stay seated all the time. We stay paralyzed. We stay no, because I can't take the glory of God. See, that's a religious false humility that keeps many believers in bondage. But when we realize we partakers, when we realize we are co-heirs, when we realize that Jesus, you're in this, but I've got to yield my body, I've got to offer my body as a living sacrifice. Holy Spirit, you're in me, you've anointed me because you are the Holy Spirit and you want to touch people's lives. And the love that God has poured in my heart by you, Holy Spirit, is going to be made complete as I love others and I go and minister healing. That's not religious, that's love. See, we are the body of Christ. We are the light. We are the salt of the earth. See, and that's why all the time the Holy Spirit is activating us. He's making us aware, removing all the stuff that keeps us paralyzed and says, no. We can't do this. We can't do that. No. We've died with Christ. No longer I who live, but Christ who lives in us. The life we live now, we live by faith in Him. That's our reality. And so now we go out and we love the world because God so loved the world. He's in us. He hasn't changed. You see, the Jesus in us still loves the world. And so we love others and we minister others. And that's the joy. That's why as we sang that first song, lead us, Holy Spirit. And that is why one of the most profound scriptures that is very real to all of us is that one in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, let me just read verse 14. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, very important, remember Jesus full of grace and full of truth. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, so who loved the world, that He gave His one and only Son full of grace and truth, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. What an incredible truth that is, eh? And I just declare that over all of us.
This is part two of the video book on how to receive your healing. And so I want to start with the Word of God. And allow me to read to you a couple of scriptures about healing. In the book, in the Hebrew song book, Psalm 30, verse 2, this is what the prophet says. He said, Lord, I called to you and you healed me. That means that prayer can cause you to access spiritual healing, mental healing, emotional healing, and physical healing. In Jeremiah 33:3, this is what God says. He says, call to me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things you do not know. And in the original language, great and mighty things you do not know actually means this, that the Lord will cause that which is inaccessible to you to be made accessible to you. And so you can find yourself in a sickness or a disease, and for whatever reason, you can't seem to get well. But Jesus can cause you to become well by His mercy and by His grace. And I want to emphasize the mercy and grace of God through Jesus Christ. Here we also have Matthew 9:33, where it says that Jesus was moved with compassion and Jesus was healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And so, you know, you have to look at sometimes tradition versus the Word of God. And so, you know, sometimes what can prevent you from receiving from God is a religious tradition or a wrong theology. For example, you know, sometimes a person will say, you know, this sickness is bringing me closer to God. But at the same time this person is saying, this sickness is bringing me closer to God, they're doing everything they can to get rid of their sickness. They go see the doctor, they have medicine prescribed, they're taking their medicine regularly, and so their behavior contradicts their theology. So that says that there's something off there in their thinking. Now, we all have areas where there's something off with the way we think. You know, so if I believe this sickness, if I really believe this sickness is bringing me closer to God, then why would I take medication? Why would I go see the doctor? Why would I do that? Okay? So in other words, it's a religious tradition. It's a wrong kind of theology, and it makes no sense. Because if I pray, and for whatever reason, I cannot access divine healing through my faith, then I need to go to the doctor. I need to do whatever I need to do to get well. Okay? And for some people, it's prayer, faith, and medicine that gets them well. Okay, but see, so now here's the thing. If I were to really believe that this sickness is bringing me closer to God, then if I have pain in my left knee, I need to pray that I have pain in my right knee so I will be doubly closer to God. But here's what I have noticed. I don't know anybody who's doing that. No, they're looking to get rid of their pain any way that they can. So that sort of thinking just doesn't fit or square with what we know to be reality. Okay? So, Paul, somebody may say, you know what? The reason I'm sick and I can't get well is because I have Paul's thorn. Okay, Paul, the Apostle Paul had a thorn in the flesh, and I'm like the Apostle Paul, and I too have a thorn in the flesh. Well, let's examine the truth and the reality of that. And let's take a real good look at Paul's thorn in the flesh. So turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and let's take a look at Paul's thorn in the flesh. And what I'll do is I will start reading with chapter 12, verse 1. It is necessary to boast. Nothing is to be gained by it. But I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a person in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that such a person, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows, was caught up into paradise and heard things that are not permitted to be told, that man is not permitted to repeat. On behalf of such a one, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I'll not boast except of my weaknesses. But if I wish to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will be speaking the truth. But I will refrain from it so that no one may think better of me than what is seen in me or heard from me. Even considering the exceptional character of the revelations. Therefore, notice now, to keep me from being too elated, puffed up, or proud, a thorn was given to me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, to keep me from being too elated. Okay, three times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me, but he said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect through your weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly in my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may live in me. Then he says what his weaknesses are. Therefore I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I'm weak, then I'm strong. Okay, so can you have a thorn in the flesh based upon this scripture? Okay, well, let's see why Paul had a thorn in the flesh. First of all, when you go back and you look in the Old Covenant, this phrase, thorn in the flesh, was a phrase that God used concerning the enemies that the sons of Israel chose not to defeat. That's number one. That's where the phrase comes from. Number two, Paul said, because of the abundance of the revelations given to me, there was a thorn in the flesh. Okay, so Paul wrote two-thirds of what we call the New Testament or the New Covenant. So I have not written not one scripture, not one. I have to believe what is written to be the infallible word of God, and I believe that. So I am not qualified to have a thorn in the flesh because I have not written a single scripture. Okay? I am reading the abundance of the revelations that God gave to Paul. That's number two. Number three, Paul describes what the thorn in the flesh is. He says it is a messenger, angelos, from Satan, sent to deal him blow by blow, and it's in his body. Okay, in his body. So when you study the ministry of the Apostle Paul, here's what you discover. First, in the book of Acts, Paul's a sinner. Second, Paul becomes a believer in Jesus. Third, Paul becomes a disciple or a follower of Christ. Four, Paul's called into the ministry, and he calls himself a preacher. In Acts 13, he's described as one of the prophets and or teachers, and then we see him becoming one of the apostles. When Paul gets to a certain place in ministry, because if my memory is correct, he started about 20 churches in about four different regions. When Paul gets to a certain place in ministry, everywhere he goes, a riot starts. In other words, some demonic being follows him everywhere he goes, stirs up the people, and Paul was received 39 lashes with the whip, and he has that experience five different times. Now, there are people who think that Paul had a problem with his eyes because he said to a certain group of people, if you could have torn out your eyes and given them to me. Well, my personal opinion is that Paul can believe, because if they gave you 40 stripes, you were considered dead. If Paul can receive 39 stripes five different times and get healed, surely he can get his eyes healed. Okay? Surely he can get his eyes healed. Three times he was beaten with rods. In other words, they hang you upside down, they beat the bottom of your feet, and you may never walk again. And all of a sudden, Paul can walk again. He is, you're handicapped, if he can get his feet healed, surely he can get his eyes healed. Okay, so he suffered tremendous, tremendous persecution. But he always got through it successfully. So I do not believe that Paul had a physical sickness or disease. Somebody said, well, he had somebody else write his letters. Well, what if Paul was in prison? And my understanding is, for example, he was in one prison, it was a sewer, it was water there, and he was chained. Well, how are you gonna write a letter if one of your hands is chained? Okay? And what if it was his right hand chained? Even if it was left hand chained, how are you gonna do that? So he had to dictate it. So I believe that Paul's thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, was persecution. Okay, by the way, the spirit of infirmity is not called in Scripture a messenger of Satan. It's not called that. So, if you theologically believe that you have a thorn in the flesh and that's why you're not healed, I don't mean to hurt your feelings or to offend you, but biblically, scripturally, you're not qualified for a thorn in the flesh because you don't have abundance of revelations. That's the point that I'm making here. Somebody might say, well, I'm like Job. Well, you may be like Job, but Job at the end of the book got healed. So you are destined by God, I believe, to be healed by Jesus Christ. And so sometimes having the wrong belief system or the wrong theology can actually get in the way of your healing. And so I want to urge you to look at the book of Job. Did Job get sick? Yes. Was he sick maybe about a year? Yes. But did God come to him and heal him? The answer is yes. In other words, Job spent the majority of his life well, not sick. And regardless of the losses that he had, God gave him double for his trouble. And I'm believing that God is going to do the same thing for you.
To release that over all of us. So let's watch this second part of the video over here. And yeah, he's going to be speaking a little bit more. Just some of the things that we battle with. Thank you. Just, we read cases like this where a parent would deliberately cause their child to become sick with the mindset that that child is going to come closer to me. Can you imagine God the Father doing that? Okay? And yet we believe that. You know, God's causing my sickness so that I can come closer to Him. But our Heavenly Father would never do that. He sent His Son to deal with sickness. So why would He bypass His Son Jesus? His Son is revealing to us the Father's heart. And that is why healing is so, such a revelation of the Father's incredible love. And we're entering, if you've already seen more and more of all the COVID and all the plague that are coming, sickness is just going to be rampant worldwide. And we, the body of Christ, what a privilege that we have to be able to receive healing and also to minister healing so that people can taste and see that God is good. And that's why this is so important for you and I. This morning, as we just before we go into the communion service, there may be some folk this morning that first of all want to give testimony. Second of all, during the communion time, you may want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or maybe you want to ask questions about that. And thirdly, some of you may just say, God, I believe you can heal me now, and you wanting to receive healing, and then we pray for the sick. So whatever God has spoken, respond. Amen. Oh, we just thank God for His grace. And that's why, you know, what He said right in the beginning, God has blessed us with the joy of prayer, because prayer gives us access to receive healing. And it's such a joy to be praying for one another. I was listening to a testimony, again, a lady that was, it's in Africa, that was very involved in witchcraft, but her brother, for 10 years, prayed for her. And it was pretty severe demonic activity in that. But for 10 years, he just prayed and prayed. And eventually, she started to go to different churches to try and get deliverance, try and get help. But unfortunately, what happens in a lot of the places is that the pastors say, but I get my power from that Changoma or that witch doctor. Your power is stronger than my power, you know, because many of the ministers go and get power from the demonic source to be able to do stuff. And that's very real. But he kept on praying. And then 10 years, she finds herself with her brother. Her brother said, why don't you come to a church? You've been seeking. And he has one that I know that God sets people free. And she went and got totally set free from the demonic realm and that. So prayer, that's why we don't. Prayer is wonderful. We have communication with God Almighty. And He speaks the answer, Jesus, and what Christ has done, and the Holy Spirit works in the lives of people. So never stop praying, no matter how bad and impossible the situation looks like. And so you guys are testimonies of the power of prayer, you know, and just what God has done in your lives. Yeah. Behind the scenes, for a while now there's a few of us that we meet on a Tuesday and we intercede. And part of the intercession, God was showing, could hear the sound of chains being broken of people. And so we've been pressing in for all those held in captivity by the enemy to be released in this community. And that's part of the first fruits that are starting to come a reality. Yeah, amen. Oh, no. God loves the people of this community, this town. And Jesus, what a name that you have given to us to use, to walk in your authority, to use your name. Embracing the fullness of who you are to be made known on this earth as it is in heaven. Your name, the exalted Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And as we celebrate with the communion this morning, you're celebrating Jesus, for God so loved the world. and how you revealed the love in your death and also in your glorious resurrection. And we want to celebrate that this morning. We want to celebrate the total victory in every aspect of humanity, in every aspect of creation that you have obtained for us and for creation. We want to celebrate in you, Jesus. It is done. It's perfected. Salvation is perfected. It is a done deal. And so thank you for again, Holy Spirit, for you working in us and just revealing truth to us of our Lord Jesus Christ and of our Heavenly Father. And it's because of you that we experience relationship, Holy Spirit. It's because of you that we are able to really know what the love of the Father is all about, the love of Christ is all about. It's because of you that we really know what the grace of Jesus is all about. And we want to thank you as we receive his gift of righteousness and we appropriate that and live in it, the righteousness of Christ Jesus. So as we have communion, Lord Jesus, I just speak and release your divine healing over each and every one here and just declare the healing ministry of Jesus Christ is here. Just receive it. Just decree the truth of Jesus Christ is here through the Holy Spirit. Just receive. And I thank you, Lord, as our minds are set free, as the sort of the emotional hurts and all the physical illnesses that we have and carry around. Thank you today for divine deliverance. We thank you what you're doing in Veronica's life and just the gang up of Veronica. We declare in the name of Jesus, you are healed, and we declare the healing of Jesus upon your body in Jesus' name. And we thank you for that. So thank you, Holy Spirit, as you just work in us. Thank you for the recovery in the whole Felix family and just what you were busy doing there and just opening up more and more the revelation of you are who you are, Father, your goodness. And I thank you as they experience your fatherhood in a mighty way, that are carried by your Father's love as a family, and they can be with the psalmist and say, surely goodness follows me all the days of my life. Declare that over their lives in the name of Jesus. So we celebrate you this morning, Lord. Thank you for your ministry. Thank you for you being here. Thank you that you're in this community, in this town. And we just bless you in the nations where two or three have come, you are there. And we thank you as you do divine work to glorify the Father. Amen. Amen. Amen.